This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast looking at all things releasing weekly on streaming and in cinemas, with a bit of pop culture bits thrown in. Well, folks, the content, it never ends. It's an endless stream. Despite the strike, it's just constant as the wind. Don't think you're getting an easy week to catch up on so much stuff that's been dropped, because this being Thanksgiving week, streamers especially are dropping all sorts of quality content to distract folks from their turkeys and any possible in-house family drama. Although deciding and agreeing what to watch may be a major issue. And with that, to our US listeners and those celebrating the weekend, that is, the chaos of Thanksgiving and Black Friday and all that other lunacy, have a good one. So, shall we begin?
Let me tell you what I see.
Trouble, ho, ho, trouble.
I see a woman who outsmarted two kidnappers.
Are you okay, ma'am?
Never do you mention she is a tiger.
She's claiming it never happened.
Never what now?
She's a wolf in sheep's clothing, that one.
Honestly, I'm embarrassed by all the fuss.
First up this week, we have the fifth season of the always epic black comedy and crime drama Fargo, which finally lands on Prime Video. This season of Noah Hawley's anthology is set in Minnesota and North Dakota in the year 2019. It stars Juno Temple as Dot, a seemingly typical Midwestern housewife living in Scandia, Minnesota, whose mysterious past comes back to haunt her after she lands in hot water with the authorities. John Hamm also stars as North Dakota sheriff and local preacher Roy Tillman, who has been searching for Dot for quite a while. Joe Keery, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Lamorne Morris, Risha Morjani, and Lucas Gage also star. I'm not going to lie, folks, I am pumped. I do love a bit of Fargo. I've always loved it. Noah Hawley, what a man. That's Fargo Season 5, which is now streaming, with the first two episodes up on Prime Video. Do it. You know you're going to love it. Also, you don't have to have seen any of the previous seasons. They're all kind of standalone, despite slight connections now and then. But they're all there on Prime Video for you.
Attention all players. It is now time for the next game.
Oh, yo!
Oh, my God.
Please enter the game hall immediately.
What is this?
Damn.
Let the game begin.
Netflix's real-life competition series, based on the challenges depicted in its hit Korean drama series Squid Game, similarly features a potentially enormous payoff over $4.5 million. What? For the winner. But you'll be glad to hear it doesn't quite have the same deadly consequences for the losers. Squid Game became a cultural phenomenon back in 2021. Oh! Back in 2021, innocent times, and the brutal games set out in the K-drama are now being set for real. With real-life contestants from all over the world. By the way, there are a lot of Scousers. I don't know what's going on, but there seems to be quite a few Scousers in the audience, and Americans. Anyway, they're battling out to win the huge cash prize of $4.56 million, the biggest ever for a reality TV show. But I must stress, yet again, no one dies in this version. They just get very stressed out and covered in exploding paint if they fail. Everything from the bunk beds, the sets, the tracksuits, the creepy guards are all identical to the hit show, as Netflix go all in on their biggest breakout brand to date. Think of it as a Lord of the Flies experiment happening weekly on your screen. And yes, episodes will be streaming weekly, but the first five have dropped now, and having watched the first three, I'm all in. I absolutely love it. It's got villains, it's got heroes, it's got people you're like, how are you still in this competition? I wouldn't last 2 minutes, by the way. Would not last 2 minutes. Red light, green light, feckin' done. That's Squid Game, The Challenge, which is now on Netflix.
At some point, I've got to, like, venture into this world. I'm not ready to do that just yet. Can I still win the tournament? That'd be interesting. My addictions are good in many ways because it drives me on, but it just needs to be managed.
There's just so much self-criticism involved, and that's so soul-destroying.
People could see that I was imploding. I wasn't very good at having all this stuff locked inside me. I never want to go to them dark places, but sometimes you have to.
In Ronnie O'Sullivan, The Edge of Everything on Prime Video, this sports documentary focuses on understanding the player's genius, illuminating his past through archived family footage, and charts his rise to fame from his early teens, and the mental challenges he has overcome in the pursuit of perfection. Coming from David Beckham's production company, this is so much more than the greatest hits documentary. Yes, I hear you scream, but it's about snooker. Alas, it's not. It's so much more than that. It's a layered, sophisticated story of a man grappling with his talent and his demons. Absolutely, definitely worth the watch. Whether you love snooker or not. If you love sports ball, get in. That is Ronnie O'Sullivan, The Edge of Everything, which is now on Prime Video. Also on Prime Video, for those NFL and American football fans out there who probably just gorged themselves on all the Thanksgiving games and who can't possibly bring themselves to watch the Jets get carved up and stuffed like a turkey in the first ever Black Friday game against Miami Dolphins. Oh, sweet Lord, I know I will not be watching that because I'll be watching Bye Bye Barry on Prime Video, which will be a super and welcome distraction. When NFL superstar and Hall of Famer Barry Sanders vanished at the height of his career, he left the sports world in shock. He was still in his prime, chasing the all-time NFL rushing record when he boarded a flight to England and never stepped foot on the field again. Now, 24 years later, Barry retraces his steps through the streets of London to finally confront the mystery of what happened. Was it due to the Detroit Lions' epic losing streak, or was there more to it? Well, you're about to find out in this fascinating sports ball doc, Bye Bye Barry, which is now also on Prime Video.
No animal wants to be locked up. I wasted my life.
This year, every student has to take home a class pet.
This is my shot. Are you nuts? So I go with these kids, then I escape, and then I really live. It's on. Ow! Mother of Godzilla!
What was that? You just spoke!
There's plenty of action for the smallies this week. Loads of content dropping for the little ones to keep them distracted and off the streets. First up, we have Leo, which is a new animated movie on Netflix. In this one, Leo the lizard has been stuck in the same Florida school for decades. When he learns he has only 1 year left to live, he plans to escape to freedom, but instead his plans change when he has to rescue his class from their horribly mean substitute teacher. Featuring the voices of Adam Sandler, Bill Burr, Cecily Strong, Jason Alexander and Rob Schneider, this is another fun family affair where Sandler shines yet again with his voice work. I watched it. It did make me chuckle. It's a musical. There's some fairly sketchy songs in there, but overall, you know what? It'll keep the kids distracted. Bit of crack. Good old Adam Sandler is showing that there's life in his voice work yet. So that is Leo, which is now on Netflix.
Based on the beloved tale.
Wise horse, what does real mean?
Being real isn't about how you're put together. When a child loves you with all of their heart, then you become real.
This holiday season, the magic of friendship comes to life.
I'd like to become real one day.
If the boy loves you, then he will.
If you're looking for something a bit more paff, a bit more posh as, something a bit more twee and less obnoxious, and more in the lovely, lovely bracket of kids' fare, well, The Velveteen Rabbit is Apple TV Plus's 40-minute adaptation of the classic children's story by Marjorie Williams, which was published in 1922. The story of a toy rabbit brought to life by the love of its owner has been adapted for the screen many, many times, and this latest version blends live action and animation and defo comes under the bracket of twee and sugar crushingly sweet. If you liked The Boy, the Mole from last year, that kind of vibe, well, then this is defo for you. If you found that too dull and schmaltzy, then you may want to avoid this. Landing just in time for the Christmas run-in, at least it'll keep those smallies occupied for another little while. So that's The Velveteen Rabbit, which is now on Apple TV+. My Little Pony Make Your Mark Season 6 returns to Netflix, where we're welcome back to Equestria, where pony magic is everywhere, isn't it just? With friends Zip, Sunny, Izzy, Pip and Hitch leading the way. Yes, folks, adventure is sure to follow. That's My Little Pony Make Your Mark Season 6, which is on Netflix. As far as unexpected sequels go this week, well, Good Burger 2 on Paramount Plus is the pick of the bunch. Kenan Thompson and Kel Mitchell return as their characters Dexter and Ed, who reunite decades after the events of the first film and deal with a host of new problems in the modern fast food business. Lil Rel Howery and Carmen Electra also star in this movie, where most people will be asking, why are we back here again? But anyway, we are. So that is Good Burger 2, which is now on Paramount+.
The gallery is going through some changes.
My math sucks, but I know half of zero is zero.
We're a team, right? We need to find a new way to deal with the money.
I suggest art.
This thing that looks like a Smurf wiped his ass with it can sell for $1 million.
I give you the piece, and I give you the money for it, and everything will be clean.
I need something to sell.
I will call my guy, have him grab his brushes, and whip something up.
What's the artist's name?
Bang Man.
The Kill Room on Prime Video sees Uma Thurman's struggling art gallery owner Patrice finding a way out of her financial troubles when drug dealer Gordon, played here by Samuel L. Jackson, offers to launder money through her business. This involves his in-house hitman Reggie, played by Joe Manganiello, to produce art under the pseudonym The Bagman. Possibly muck, possibly a straight-to-VHS piece of crap, but with a cast like that, and the idea of snooty gallery folks hanging out alongside hardened mob criminals. You know what? That's a nice setup. And it's a snappy 1 hour 40 minutes. Sure, feck it. Why not? That is The Kill Room, which is now on Prime Video. Settling in for the Christmas season. Oh, here we go. It's November and it's all kicking off. Hannah Waddingham, Home for Christmas on Apple TV Plus, feels like a blast from the variety show days past, as the Ted Lasso star and Eurovision host invites guests on to sing and dance the night away. Featuring all types of walk-ons, including Leslie Odom Jr., Sam Ryder, the London Gay Men's Chorus, and Lasso co-star Nick Mohammed, you can expect Christmas trees, numerous costume changes, and all the fake snow you need. But sadly, no Mariah Carey. She's due in a few weeks, probably. Anyways, you want to get in the mood early? Stick up that Christmas tree and sing along with Hannah Waddingham, Home for Christmas? Well, it's now on Apple TV+. Also out this week, A Haunting in Venice, hot off its recent cinema release, is now streaming for free on Disney+. This third Poirot adventure from Kenneth Branagh, while a dud at the box office, is a perfect weekend watch at home on the couch. Of course, only if you can get over Jamie Dornan and Tina Fey hamming it up. Hamming it up like their lives depended on it. Oh, not terribly bad, not terribly great, but you know what? At home, it's worth a watch. So that is A Haunting in Venice, now on Disney+.
Lewis is a dangerous individual and the Coaching Masters is a cult.
Psychotherapy, psychiatry, coaching. All of it is just talking.
If you have an opinion that doesn't sit with Lewis, you're exiled.
If it is a cult, I'm going.
It's changed everything.
He says he feels empathy. Psychopaths would say that.
The Psychopath Life Coach on Netflix is the story of Lewis Raymond Taylor, who overcame an abusive childhood to set up a life coaching business worth $25 million. It follows him through alcoholism, prison, and a diagnosis of antisocial personality disorder as he sets up this wellness brand and self-help empire. Once a psychopath, always a psychopath. despite your outward persona? Very dodgy. These are the questions which are looked at in this somewhat stressful documentary. But you know what? You know you're going to watch it. Psychopath Life Coach is now on Netflix. Also out this week, we have $1 trillion on Paramount Plus, which is a new series adaptation of Andreas Esbach's best-selling novel. John Fontanelli, played here by German actor Philip Poisson, is suddenly catapulted from a life of delivering pizzas in Berlin to being the world's richest man as he emerges as the heir to $1 trillion. The twist to all this is that he is tasked with solving the climate crisis, creating new economic systems, and changing the world. And yes, because of this, alienating some of its most dangerous and powerful people in the process. Sounds kind of like a weird, more serious version of Brewster's Millions, but it's getting some decent buzz, so maybe worth a watch. So that's $1 trillion, which is now on Paramount Plus.
Want to hear my news? A novel's being published.
What is it about?
I don't want to give too much away. This is a page you missed on your contract. Your characters are fictional. You made up a town. It's all good.
How could you write about this without asking us?
One Night on Paramount Plus is a new Australian series which follows three adult women and friends whose bond is destroyed by a traumatic event 20 years earlier. Simone has written her first book, but the story isn't only hers to tell. And by writing it, she brings her friends back into her world and risks exposing the devastating thing that happened to them during their teens. With quality performances by Jodie Whittaker, Nicole Da Silva and Yael Stone, the book opens up a can of worms that they never fully had gotten over. And yes, it all kicks off big time. So that's One Night, which is now on Paramount Plus. In a rare feat of double booking, My Demon and My Damon, Netflix have gone mad with demons this week. So My Damon is a anime series where, to save his mother, a kind-hearted boy and his tiny Damon friend set out on a journey across post-apocalyptic Japan as dark forces close in. Yes, My Damon on Netflix. And then My Demon on Netflix. Keep up. This is a K-drama where a pitiless demon becomes perilous after getting entangled with an icy heiress who may hold the key to his lost abilities and, yes, his heart. Ah, love a bit of K-drama. So that's My Demon. So yeah, the demon double bill there. And then for you hardcore animation heads of a certain vintage, the iconic and groundbreaking Batman the Animated Series Season 1, all 65 episodes, are now streaming on Netflix. Released in 1992 and taking its inspiration from the Tim Burton Batman movies, this darker, broodier animated Batman was a revelation at the time. I was obsessed with its mature themes, interconnected storyline arcs, and perfect voice acting, and yes, an immense soundtrack. My God, what a joy to behold. So all 65 episodes of Season 1 are now available. That's Batman the Animated Series, now on Netflix.
I've got this friend called Donna Noble. I had to wipe her memory to save her life.
No!
If she remembers me, she will die. So what happens now? The spaceship crashes right in front of her. It's like she's drawing us in.
What the hell? We've got a bloody moment!
Don't look!
Meet me!
Oh, here we go again. I don't believe in destiny, but if destiny exists, then it is heading for Donna Noble.
Three special episodes of Doctor Who will air over the next three Saturdays on BBC One to celebrate the programme's 60th anniversary. The specials were written by Russell T. Davis and will mark the start of his second tenure as showrunner, having served previously in the role from 2005 until 2010. David Tennant and Catherine Tate return to the series, with Tennant playing the 14th Doctor for the first time, having previously portrayed the 10th Doctor, while Tate will reprise her role as Donna Noble. Neil Patrick Harris is also set to star as the Toymaker. Tom Baker and his beautifully gorgeous big scarf was always my Doctor. But you know what? A lot of folks are pumped and excited for this, so get comfortable, get set up. That's Doctor Who, the 60th anniversary specials, which are set to be broadcast from the 25th of November to the 9th of December on BBC One in Ireland and the UK and on Disney Plus internationally.
What is the toy show?
It's the most magical night of the year. You wouldn't want to miss it.
There's singing, there's dancing, and you play with toys.
So it's really important?
It's a very big job.
How big?
It's the official start of Christmas.
My mommy puts me to bed and then she wakes me up when it's time for the toy show.
So if they sing and dance and they play with the toys, what do I do?
You have to ask questions, see what they're about.
This is great.
You need to be chatty and you need to kind of be interesting.
And finally this week on streaming, or should I say terrestrial, or depending when you're watching it, Patrick Keelty steps into the iconic shoes of Gabo, Kenny and Tuberty as he unleashes the annual Festive Hunger Games, that is the Late Late Toy Show on RTE1 and the Player. What's fascinating to me this year is which approach will he take? Will it be the kind of clueless, curious, older relative approach as perfected by Gabo and Pat, where they feign stupidity and allow the kids to demonstrate and rant away? Or will he go for the down with the kids, hipster uncle approach as used by Tuberty, which saw him usually talk more than the actual kids? I've always been a fan of the toy show, both as a kid and as a grown-up, sitting on the couch, drinking his rosé. But in the past few years, I feel like it's kind of jumped the shark. It seems to have drifted from the wonderful chaos of letting the kids run free and even possibly obliterate the toys they're talking about, and somehow become more stage-managed, mawkish and ho-hum, and a bit of, you know, less about the toys. And I get what people will say, in this modern world, commercialism, blah, blah, blah. I hear you, but then why is it called the toy show? Ultimately though, I'm back in for 1 year and will have my bottle of rosé chilled or two. And have my fingers crossed that Keelty has the sense to just let the kids run amok and run the show and let himself be the butt of all the jokes. Maybe stupidly, I have faith in PK. And also, how could I forget, after many, many years, here's hoping the children's books get a decent look in. Because you know what? Children's books, they're not just for Christmas. But we'll take it. And no more of this blinking you miss it moments after midnight sometime. Maybe that's why I'm so bitter. Anyway, yes, I'm back in for this year. Can PK course correct the ship? Bring it on. That's the Late Late Toy Show, which is on RTE1 Friday night. And the Player from then on. Good times, good times. And there you go. Wowza. So much. So much. And I haven't even got to cinema yet.
I'm not built like other men.
Generals gathered in their masses.
Move along now.
Those in power only see me as a brute, unfit for higher office.
Just like witches at black masses.
But I follow in the footsteps of Alexander the Great and Caesar.
Evil minds that plot destruction.
If you look down, you'll see a surprise. Once you see it, you will always want it.
Napoleon is a historical drama directed by Ridley Scott, depicting French leader Napoleon Bonaparte's, played here by Joaquin Phoenix, his rise to power, along with his relationship with Empress Josephine, played here by Vanessa Kirby. Having been seduced by the all-action trailers out there, and boy, did they focus on the action, I was quite surprised by the amount of soap opera drama between Napoleon and Josephine in this movie. And I'm not going to lie, I was initially worried that all those action sequences were a marketing trick. Feckin' feckers. But stick with it. By allowing the relationship to breed on screen, you get to see Kirby and Phoenix shine as actors. Even if it does feel slightly lopsided in parts with minimal action and all the Kardashian drama. However, when those battle scenes do finally arrive, wow, wow, wowza. Scott delivers some stunning and gripping action sequences and does it in an original way. I was absolutely hooked. So ultimately, Napoleon is two movies in one, both a love story and an action spectacle, with again both Kirby and Phoenix carrying the movie to its successful conclusion. Also, I gotta give a shout out to Rupert Everett's Duke of Wellington, who rocks up for about 20 minutes on the battlefield at the end and, I'm not gonna lie, is pretty amazing. Lovely, lovely! This one's another long movie, 2 hours and 40 minutes, but I do love a big sweeping historical drama and was invested throughout. So be warned, there are large lopsided gaps between those battle scenes and you may be sitting there going, what's happening? Where have all the action sequences gone? I was promised, but fear not, ultimately the movie delivers in the end. As for the French, mon Dieu, they are some mad share of bastards. Oh, and yes, you need to see it on the biggest screen possible because, as I said, it is quite epic in scope. And as regards accents, don't worry, there's none of that. Well, hello, how are you doing? No, what's that? The cross between Jiminy and French. Anyway, everybody speaks in their British, American, all sorts of crazy accents. But I think there's one French accent in the whole movie. But anyway, just so you know. I'll shut up now. Napoleon is now in cinemas. It's a wee cracker. Un wee cracker.
Once upon a time stood Rosas, a most magical kingdom. Founded by a king with the power to grant wishes.
You are their handsomest, most beloved king.
You're right. I am a handsome king.
I'm so nervous, I think I'm going to explode.
My best friend, the king's apprentice.
My mouth drooping? I feel like it's scooping.
Asha, come with me. The wishes of Rosas.
Wow.
People give their wishes to me, and I grant the wishes I am sure are good for Rosas.
Some of these will never be granted.
Not some, most.
The new movie Wish from Disney Animation focuses on a 17-year-old girl named Asha, played here by Ariana DeBose, who makes a passionate plea to the stars in a moment of need after sensing a darkness in the kingdom of Rosas that no one else does, as she discovers that King Magnifico, played here by Chris Pine, is not all he's cracked up to be. He's, in fact, quite sketchy. Wish is released as Disney celebrates 100 years, and the marketing of this movie has heavily leaned into this being a celebration of that. So, where to begin? This movie has me in a bit of a pickle. I was trying to figure out why I was perturbed doing this review, and it's possibly because it swept me up in a whirlwind of sugar and nice while watching it, but then the further I've got away from it and the sugar rush subsided, my opinions both positive and negative, of which there are many. It's just, it's a confusing movie. It's a very confusing movie. On the positive side, yes, let's be positive, people. Despite the songs being bland, I know that sounds negative, but they are pretty bland and somewhat forgettable. I did find that during the movie, they kind of fit in perfectly and gave off a High School Musical banger vibe and had me tapping my feet, bopping my head, but post-movie, I couldn't name you a single song from the lineup. Nothing stayed with me. Clueless. I can't remember a single thing. The Easter egg hunting of seeing classic Disney characters subtly hinted at or laid out throughout the movie to celebrate the Disney 100 was pretty funky. It's pretty cool. And I was kind of surprised the marketing didn't play up or lean into this on pre-release, as the adult audience would definitely appreciate it. And yeah, it's kind of one of those things you're like, going, is that happening? What? And then, you know, you spend your time with Whiplash looking at all these little nuggets. It was better than Strange Planet, or should I say Strange World, a movie so bad I keep getting the name wrong. Maybe that's Treasure Planet. This one felt more like a classic Disney animated movie, but again, Strange World is a pretty low bar, but at least it felt like that old school kind of Disney movie. However, here we go. Here he comes, big grumpy. On the negative side, the computer graphics / hand-drawn animation was, I'm not going to lie, pretty awful and some of the worst I've seen in quite a while from Disney. It just felt off. Like, even when the movie started, it was so distracting. It was pretty unspectacular and took me out of the movie at various stages. Like, in a year when Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, The Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and there's a new Miyazaki landing. This movie, you know, if you're here to showcase Disney 100, come on, lads. This is pretty tragic. And as for Asha, yeah, she was a pretty okay princess. But again, like the songs, for me, she wasn't memorable enough. She was no Moana, Rapunzel, or even Mirabelle, whom I loved quite a bit. And yes, I hear you shouting at the sky. You are a 52-year-old man, and it's a Disney movie. Get over yourself. Yes, kids will enjoy it, but I remember when I was a kid and small, my parents came to those Disney movies with me and adored them also. So this I feel will not be the case here. There may be a sugar rush at the start, but when it comes to the longevity, Wish, yeah, it's fine. That's what I got for you. That's my opinion. It's a serviceable, familiar, formulaic tale. And basically, if James Blunt was a Disney animated movie, this would be him. Having set the standard for animation for the 100 years, if they want to see 200, some major animation course correcting will be required, I do believe, to get them back on tow. And I have faith, they've just had a rocky road and choppy waters. But anyway, that's my tuppence worth. But do you know what? It'll keep the kids off the streets, and Wish is now in cinemas. And that is your cinema for the week. What else we got? Oh, three things, a quick three things we noticed in pop culture this week. First up, Karate Kid has had a massive revival in recent years when Cobra Kai and Ralph Macchio were a smash hit, first as a YouTube series and then on Netflix. And then this had followed a recent 2010, well, not so recent, reboot of the movie, which had Jackie Chan, who played Mr. Han, who taught Jaden Pinkett Smith's character. Well, it now looks like that shared universe is about to smash into each other MCU style, as a new Karate Kid movie will see Chan and Macchio share the screen for the first time. A worldwide search has begun for a new unknown star to play the kid, and I'm just saying, if Johnny Lawrence does not make the cut in this movie, there will be a revolt. Headbangers of the world unite. Next up, in their first ever TV collaboration, Oscar winners Steven Spielberg and Martin Scorsese are executive producing, wait for it, a new reworking and TV series of Cape Fear, which the trades have described as a tense contemporary thriller that examines America's obsession with true crime in the 21st century. In this one, a storm is coming for a pair of married attorneys when an infamous killer from their past gets released after years in prison. The tweak here being that both partners are lawyers and not just a husband, as in previous editions and in the book. According to old Hollywood lore, and in another weird twist of fate and time, Scorsese at one point was earmarked to direct Schindler's List, and Spielberg at the same time was to direct Cape Fear. But Scorsese stepped away from Schindler's List, which allowed Spielberg to step back in, as he felt Cape Fear was a bit too violent for him. And yes, who was free at the time? Of course, Marty. And he went on because he felt, do you know what, that's not a bit violent at all. It's not enough. Fully not violent enough. Mad stuff, Ted. Mad stuff. Nick Antosca, who did Hannibal, Candy and The Act, is on board as a showrunner. And finally this week, it's been a pretty busy week on the casting couch. Now that the actor strike is over, we had Marvel last week hoovering up Pedro Pascal and Vanessa Kirby for Fantastic Four. Well, in the world of DC, James Gunn's Superman Legacy looks like it may have its Lex Luthor, as Nicholas Holt has been all over the Hollywood trades, being reported as the hot favourite to accept the job in the coming weeks. Skylar Gizondo from Righteous Gemstones and Booksmart has also been announced as the most perfect Jimmy Olsen ever. So that's Superman Legacy. Let's throw in an extra Brucey bonus here. It's been reported that Universal is in talks with Edward Berger, who directed All Quiet on the Western Front, to do the new Jason Bourne. Woo! After his World War I epic took home the Oscar for Best International Film and was an absolute sensation last year, it looks like this is their man. And Matt Damon is also rumoured to be the focus for return, so it won't be a reboot, unless Damon says no, and then they'll probably flip to a different character. Yeah, interesting. It's all kicking off, folks. It's all kicking off. So there you go. Four things done. Streaming and cinema in the bag. Folks, enjoy your weekend's content. And here's hoping you clear some of the back catalogue, which is starting to pile up in the days ahead. Having watched the first 5 episodes of Squid Game The Challenge, you gotta get in there. I could confirm it's batshit and awesome. And I've watched the first 2 episodes of Fargo Season 5 on Prime. And yes, bangers. Fargo's back, baby. That TBS pile, to be seen pile, ain't gonna clear itself, folks. And with that, this is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast, wishing you all the best. And until next week, stay safe and binge happy. Thank you. Oh. Well, hello there. Hello there. Post-credit traveler. Welcome yet again. Da-da-da-da-da. A place where, as you know by now, anything goes. Anything can happen. Truths will be told, and this meandering, rambling journey to the land of wherever is already derailed because I don't know what I was going to say. Focus. This week, I'm going to ask you all to look deep inside and travel back to your retail therapy days and think back to those movies you love, you know, your favourite ones, and the fact that you possibly owned about 10 different versions, from DVD and Blu-ray to 4K to VHS to Laserdiscs. What's a Laserdisc? Don't ask. Go ask your friends. But now, you may not own any of them. You may have thrown them all out. This is the question, folks. Do you still have DVDs, or is there still only a few weirdos left? Anyway, I'm asking for a friend. I just want to point out there's no room here for a Betamax because you people deserve what came to you. Poor old Betamax. Ah, bless his cotton socks. What got me to thinking about things like the fact that I have a VHS box set of the original Star Wars? Yes, Han did shoot first. And yes, I also have numerous other DVD versions. And I don't have a Laserdisc version, actually. Must rub that off, Ash. Goonies. At least 4 different versions. Nightmare Before Christmas. Oh, Jesus. About 10 versions. Even the Aliens trilogy. I just can't seem to throw them out. But back to what me thinking about this. I asked my ma there last week if she'd watched the box set of The Gilded Age I bought her. Yes. What a son. What a classic son. She doesn't have Sky Atlantic or HBO and is a huge fan of Downton Abbey. And her reply was, I don't have a DVD player. It's up in the attic somewhere. Or one of them is. I'm like, what the actual? This is a lady who still has boxes of VHS tapes, yet can no longer play DVDs. Oh, this was all, you know, in my head. This was like, what's happening here? And then I saw the headline in Variety and The Verge and all, which read, Best Buy will no longer carry physical movies in 2024 and is exiting the physical media business, no longer carrying movies, including 4K Blu-rays and DVDs. That's like Best Buy, one of the US's biggest consumer electronics stores and one of the biggest players, especially when it came to Black Friday in the US market. Like, what the fuck? So that means Target, Amazon and Walmart will now be the biggest seller of this stuff in the market going forward. But is this a sign of the digital apocalypse to come? These are the questions. Perhaps people don't have room anymore. Maybe you have got rid of all your DVDs and you just sign into your iTunes or Amazon account and there they are, or your pre-order away and your digital copy is waiting for you. But this kind of makes me slightly sad and nostalgic. I get it, it all makes a lot of sense, but just like an e-reader, having your movie library on your TV hidden away and out of sight just has no aesthetic appeal. You walk into someone's gaff and you see their books, their DVDs, their CDs and vinyl, and you kind of get to know them as a person and their inner soul. Now it's like, hey, do you mind opening up your laptop and give us a look at your old digital library there? I just want to make sure you're not a serial killer, yeah? So for me, there's no more going back to New York City and the entertainment emporiums near the Manhattan Library, filling my spare empty suitcase with HBO box sets and then hoping customs didn't notice me sweating all the way back. Oh my God, you'd think I was bringing all the cocaine into the country when in fact it was The Wire and The Sopranos. I remember meeting a dude in one such emporium who walked in, rocked straight up to the top 20 and bought 16 of the top 20 without blinking. So of course, me being me, I went, hello, what's happening here? And he said he and 5 of his mates have TV rooms or man caves in their various houses where their TV's average size was about 96 inches. And they didn't do cinema anymore. They just pooled money every week and this was their July run. He was in charge of DVDs. Another one was in charge of alcohol and the other one was in charge of salty snacks. I'm like, what? And this was their August viewing. I have never wanted to go home with a stranger more, but my mother taught me well. Stranger danger, even if they have a giant TV and an awesome sounding party. But that guy is now probably pooling digitally his movies and those 3 or 4 stores are no more. Which makes me think, maybe actor, comedian Pete Davidson is a prophet and his time will come, as will ours. He stated the following quite recently on Jimmy Fallon. I started collecting VHSs that were sealed in the box like 3 years ago because I was really high one night, he said to Jimmy. So listen to this, guys. In 2026, it'll be 20 years since the last VHS was made, right? So 20 years go by, that's enough time for people to be like, oh, that was cool, remember? Like vinyl. So I bought all the sealed ones that exist, like 3,000 to 5,000 tapes. Despite folks laughing at him and thinking he's lost his mind, as of a month ago he replied, sealed VHSs are now going for 20 to 30 grand a pop. Rocky just sold for $27,000. What? It's my GameStop, people. I own all of them, dude. No one believe me. It's gonna happen. You guys, you gotta love a man who's committed to the cause. So, never surrender, folks. Hold the line. Keep those good VHS tapes. Good ones, Mary. Good ones. Not the absolutely rubbish ones. And someday, the get rich quick, but actually very slowly scheme may pay off. And as for you Laserdisc heads out there, fear not. I feel your time may also come to fruition soon. Right, that's us. Fascinating. I know. You're welcome. And to send us off this week with our 60-second earworm of tunage in my head this week, there was only one place to go, as my home of 40-plus years in Newcastle is knocked, smashed, kicked over to the ground. I would have loved to have played wrecking ball, but alas, they are deemed unsafe and rarely used in home demolition these days. Didn't know that. So I'll leave you with this. 40 years plus of madness in our house that was literally in the middle of Main Street. Take it away.
Father wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep. You can't hang around. Crowd, there's always something happening, and it's usually quite loud. Our mum, she's so house proud, nothing ever slows her down, and a mess is not allowed.